Well, good morning. In case you haven't clued in yet, this morning's message is about joy. Gotta love that song, Happy Dance. That's a true call to worship.
Yeah, it is.
Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at some of the things that the coming of Jesus in the flesh has done for the world spiritually, and what we're waiting for. The first week, we looked at how in the Old Covenant, things were shadows of what was in heaven, but then Christ came, and He alone is the substance. Last week, we looked at how Jesus is our humble King. He didn't come the first time as a warrior king. He didn't lead the Jews into taking over the Romans and kicking them out. He showed us a whole different way to live. But today, I've got good news of great joy for all people. Maybe you've heard that somewhere. As we sing, joy has come, and let heaven and earth rejoice. I think sometimes our lives and the world around us can get us down, can just overburden us. It can be just this weight on us. And when that's happening, we've just taken our eyes off of our source of joy. We're focusing on the wrong thing. We're letting the wrong things control our spirit. And we need to get our eyes back on Jesus, get our eyes back on joy, and live the kind of life that God has given us and brought to us. Yeah. What brings you joy? What brings you joy? I'm sure that we all would have a myriad of answers of different things that bring us joy. And what might bring Jeff joy won't bring me joy, but what brings me joy might not bring Jeff joy. But the one thing that should bring us all joy is the birth of Jesus. Our Savior has come. And it's not hard to remember. It shouldn't be all that hard to understand. And it's this birth of Jesus is one thing that's meant for everyone, for all the world of all time. Joy is kind of a response to something. So the Savior's born, and we hear the news, our response is joy. But joy sometimes can be momentary or fleeting. However, it can be more of a permanent state of our demeanor and our spirit if our eyes are focused on the right thing, the source of joy. So what is the good news that was brought? The good news is the Savior was born. He's here. The angels announced it. And the shepherds went in and witnessed it. And this Savior, this good news is that we can be saved, every one of us, from the coming wrath of God against the sons of disobedience. We can be saved from being in the bondage to sin. And what do we have to do? We don't have to do anything. It's a faith transaction. It's a spirit transaction. So that means anybody and everybody is invited. There's no one that can't do that. So as we discussed a couple weeks ago, when we worship God, we no longer have to do this ceremonial worship from the law. We don't have to bring in animals and have them sacrificed, or if we live too far away, have to bring a pile of money, or sell our animals, or bring the money, and then try to exchange it in the temple, you know, the, that thing that Jesus didn't like. We don't have to do that. I mean, the transaction's been done for us. We just need to accept it. We need to bring it into our lives. That's good news. That's good news. And even more so, you know, maybe one of the things I pick up out of Hildy's testimony is that God comes and he offers his forgiveness and his support no matter who we are, no matter what we've done in the past. It isn't about our past. It's about our present and our future. That's good news. Amen. So, if we think about it, isn't this good news of joy really the core benefit of Jesus' birth that we celebrate the Christmas season? You know, this is good news. The Savior has come. We can be forgiven. We can be made new. We can become a new creation. And why do people, some people, not find it to be good news that produces joy for them personally? And when you think about it, that's kind of sad. That's kind of sad. And it also reveals, you know, Satan is at work in so many people's lives. But Jesus has called us, each one of us individually, to be witnesses to them so that they can be set free and hear this good news. Let us tell them the good news. The good news needs to be shared, right? Yeah. I mean, we have the good news. We just hold it in. What good is that doing? I mean, it's doing okay for us, but what about the rest? That's one of the fun things about Christmas and Easter is that people are a little bit more open to hearing this good news. So let us take advantage of that time and that little crack of an opening. Good news is great joy for all people. All people. It wasn't just for the Jews. The Jews were a chosen people. But now that Christ has come, the salvation is made available to everyone. So as Jerry was sharing in one another time out there in Egypt, good news is for them. Savior is for them. No matter where we are in the world. And I think sometimes we could find ourselves thinking that, well, those people really aren't worthy of the good news and salvation. You know, it's kind of a natural tendency, but we have to arrest that from a spiritual standpoint and remember that Jesus is for all people. Jesus was here for all people. They're for people that, you know, they don't have a car to get to church. They don't have clothing or a suit or the right clothes to go to church. They don't have food, whatever. No gas money. Jesus is here for everyone, no matter where we're at on the economic scale. And that's the one thing that, one of the many things that's pretty unique about Jesus. I mean, he's here for all people. In fact, you could almost say he kind of is biased towards those that aren't wealthy, or those that aren't well behaved, those that have their life together. In fact, we find many of those people find it a little more difficult to accept this amazing grace. Every society has classes or castes. When I was in India, it's just a way of life. There's almost no conversation that goes on that the classes and the castes come into play, into the conversation. So no matter what people you're with, they're of a certain caste. I mean, it's formalized. Not like, you know, we just kind of think of somebody that way, but no, it's formalized. And throughout the world, there's classes and castes, but Jesus is for everyone, all people. And I think it's easy for us to forget that sometimes, you know, because we have we tend to develop in our heart who's worthy for Jesus, right? The good news that is for all people, a Savior is born. In Isaiah, he says, but he was pierced, speaking of the coming Savior, he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Amen, Dee?
Amen.
We were having a discussion of why is this called the sheep barn.
Amen.
Each of us has turned his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. That's amazing. That's good news. I mean, how could you make that up?
That's, you know? Amen.
Yeah. So that's good news. We have a Savior, and our sin was put on him. And again, as we're talking to people, as we're witnessing to people, let's not lose sight. I mean, that's the core thing. Christianity and the beliefs and the doctrines are getting so chopped up around the world, and everybody's got their own little take, and I think we just kind of need to get back to the core of things, which is what we're doing today. Good news of great joy for all people. For today, a Savior is born.
It seems to me like there are so many people, and especially in this area, who have a shell of shame around them. They don't feel worthy to walk in the door here. They have the feeling that they have to get good before they can come here. And before we can even talk about Jesus, that shell has to be breached, so that they can have some sunlight. And a lot of that is up to us to love these people and let them know that they are just as worthy as anyone else in this world. And the only way we have to do that is to reach out and to let them know that we love them right where they are. And if we can do that, how much greater is God to do that? But it's so hard to talk about Jesus and, you know, share the good news when they can't hear past their own shame. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. And I think this church does a great job.
I think one of the things that needs to come on the tails of us communicating to them that we love them is that God loves them. Mm-hmm. I think so many people have just, in their own mind, just determined that God doesn't love them. How could God love me? You know, I know who I am. How could he love me? Everybody else has told me I'm not lovable. How could God love me?
Forgiveness is love. And when we embrace them,
Pastor Mark,
they feel
that. I felt that same exact thing, and I came here.
Amen.
After losing a son, and I felt Pastor Mark, and I felt God. I thought God could not love me.
God loves you.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
I can ask behind the pole over here.
Yeah, we're in the back. You know.
All right. Peter Gallery, go ahead.
Yeah. That's my job. Gallery. I can piggyback off of this too. A friend of mine and I were actually having a conversation about this earlier this week, and you know, he was talking about how it seems like a lot of both churches and people who don't go to church have this almost this bipolar view of each other, where people who don't initially go to church see church as almost this Hollywood image of what Hollywood makes church out to be. You know, you have to go in your Sunday finest, you have to obey all 10 commandments, the rest of the week when you go, and you have to bring a fancy Bible, and you have to have black shoes and a tie and all this other stuff. And at the same time, some churches also have a view of, well, if you're not in your Sunday finest and you're not wearing black shoes and you're not doing this, that, and the other thing, then you're not worthy. And that's not the message that Christ is bringing. The message that Christ is bringing is, hey, bring your tax collectors, bring your drunkards, bring your murderers, bring, you know, everybody. Because that's who the message is for. It's for everyone. It's not just for the people who already have their lives with you.
Amen.
And each of us has a sphere of influence that is not touched by someone else in this place. And each of us have the opportunity to just reach out in love to someone who's not getting it anywhere. You know, we all have that because we have different spheres of influence. And how powerful is it to spread that message of, you know, not just God loves you, but we love you, you are worthy, to everybody that is touched by somebody in this room. That's pretty pervasive in this area.
Amen. Amen. So, what is joy exactly? I think we could all come up with some descriptions, but the Bible tells us that joy is a fruit of the Spirit from God. It can be described as a glorious or a triumphant state, to rejoice, to be glad, to exult. It can be a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And amazingly enough, one can even cry when they're feeling and overcome with joy. I hear a lot of times from people, oh, I can't come to church because I'm afraid I might cry. And I'm saying, oh, that's the right place. In fact, if you're crying, we know the Holy Spirit is working in you. Where is joy found? You know, I'm looking for joy. I want to find this joy. Where's this joy? Where is it found? Well, joy is in and from heaven. Jesus says, I tell you, there is joy, much joy, in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's not a very high bar, but there's joy in heaven. So I always visually think when somebody's repenting and being born again and confessing their sin, there's a party going on in heaven, you know, at that moment. And so I'm here on earth, and I just spiritually understand this joy that's going on in heaven at the same time.
Amen.
There's joy in heaven when the lost are found. When the lost are found. Joy is what God feels when the prodigal son returns. Amen. Just runs out to hug. So, does this make joy an eternal thing? I think so. It's something that has existed. It's here now. And when we're in heaven, we are going to see and experience and live in that constant joy. So I think it is an eternal thing. Where is joy found? Joy is found in our hearts. It's not a suit of clothes we put on, and we really can't fake it. You know, you can't fake joy. Maybe for a few moments you can, but joy comes from within, comes from heaven. It's planted in us, and it's there. Adrian and I, when we were living in Bishop, California, before we moved to Colorado, we used to send our kids to this camp, this summer camp called Camp Joy. And what was so cool about it is the word joy was an acronym. Jesus, others, and you. That, it still blows me away. And so if you find that maybe you don't have any joy, maybe you have things out of order. The things you're thinking about, maybe you have them out of order. Maybe you're focusing on the wrong thing, the thing that is stealing your joy, just sucking the joy out of you. So, Jesus, the J of joy, can joy exist without Jesus? I think not. I think not. I think that's what was brought into this birth story of Jesus. Joy was brought in and spread on the earth and made available to all of us. Joy is from God because of Jesus. And I say that it could not exist, joy cannot be found without Jesus, because there would only be emptiness. There would be no heaven, no salvation, no kingdom, only death. So when we think in such graphic terms, we can understand joy is eternal. Joy is from heaven. Joy is found and kept in our heart. Joy runs deeper than simple happiness. It can be present even during unhappy times.
I'm testimony to that, guys.
Amen. So, do you have God's joy? I just want to torment you with that question today when you leave. Oh, do I have God's joy in me? I like to say that our church is a joy-filled church. It's a joy-filled church. In fact, that might even be on one of our regular slides. And that's kind of the core reason why I just love that first song, Happy Dance. I mean, Jesus. I mean, how happy can we be because of Jesus? Joy-filled. Just think of ourselves as a container where God, the God of hope, fills with all joy and peace in believing. So that we abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13. That's what God, He's the God of hope. He can fill us with joy. He's the God of peace. He can fill us with peace. Jesus even has joy over us. Think about it. In Hebrews it says, when he was being crucified, he said, we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. In other words, our faith doesn't start out perfect. It's a work. It takes time. But he's the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So we're his joy set before him. He's on the cross taking our sin, and he's doing it because we're the joy set before him. That could keep your mind busy for quite a while thinking on that one. And it really helps us understand we're not God. We couldn't do that. We don't even have joy when somebody's just calling us names, much less crucifying us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Whew. So this coming joy disarms the sting of any present pain. So joy can disarm the sting of pain. Spiritual pain, emotional pain, you take it. So others, the O in joy, Notice what brought joy to Jesus. It was others-based. He wasn't talking about how I'm joy, I feel joy, my joy, I'm keeping it to myself, just watch my joy. No, he got joy because of others. And even Paul would say, make my joy complete by joining me in fellowship. Joy is others-based. Do you want others to catch your joy, or at least the reason for your joy? The best way to do that is to live out joy, to teach joy, to demonstrate it. Not be walking around with an old frowny face and moaning and woe is me. I mean, we have a Savior. And there's so many things that we're going to go through in life that aren't going to be kumbaya moments. But we have a Savior. We're citizens of heaven. We have streets of gold waiting for us. I would go so far as to say you can't truly have joy if you don't focus on others, if you don't give to others. If you're consumed with thinking about yourself, your issues, your problems, I don't see how you're going to end up with much joy. I think you've got to focus on others. So, we have fellowship with Jesus because of Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus because of Jesus. So, we're here in spiritual fellowship. Jesus is here, but it's also because of Jesus. Because he came. Because he took our sin on himself. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and I want to just point out some of the people that did receive this joy because of Jesus, the fellowship they had because of Jesus, and it was all because of Jesus. Luke 1, verse 39. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. In other words, she was pregnant too. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." That joy, that fellowship happened in the presence of Jesus, even with the two babies that are still in the womb. So, let us never fall for that lie of Satan that it's just a bunch of cells or flesh. It's a real live baby in there. Continue down to verse 46. And so here's Mary's response. Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." So she is rejoicing. She is experiencing this joy, the joy of fellowship. 48, "For he has regard for the humble, the state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." These are the words that need to come out of us, especially if we're feeling grumpy or down, depressed, whatever. You know, just speak these words out. Let's look at the angels in chapter 2, verse 13. "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" The angels had joy over this event, and they got the opportunity to just praise God, shout hallelujah, and tell these shepherds to go into town and go see this Savior. Let's see what the shepherds did in Luke 2, verse 20. The shepherds went back, this is after they went and saw the baby, glorifying and praising God for all that he had heard and seen, just as had been told them. So do we do that when we meet Jesus and we're in his presence every week when we gather? Do we leave? Do we go out praising God, glorifying and sharing it with others? We should. And let us try to make that a little more intentional in our lives to be his witnesses. And then Simeon, chapter 2, verse 28. Then he took Jesus into his arms, the baby Jesus, and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." This guy was kept alive. He wanted to just stay alive until he could see this Messiah. And then he said, "Okay, after that, you can take me, Lord." And of course he did. But he got to stay and hold this baby. So I got to ask, do you have joy upon meeting Jesus? Do you have joy when we see one another? This is what we've just called out, just a few of those short stories in the Christmas story. When they met Jesus, when they heard about Jesus, when they were in the presence, they had joy, they had fellowship. And joy, I'm sorry?
Oh. They're watching the video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I forgot I put that up there.
Yeah.
But this girl got joy. You know, this is an all-city choir, and that girl's from Amazing Grace.
I have something, I guess, a clarification. So, happiness and joy are not the same. Happiness would be an emotion, and then joy is a state of being or a state of doing. Because it's like a fruit of the spirit, like love, peace, patience, kindness. So those aren't feelings, but they're something that the spirit gives to us. And I know that even in mourning, we can have joy. Even when we are depressed, dealing with depression, dealing with those things, we can still have joy.
Yeah.
Joy doesn't mean that we are happy.
Right.
It's, no, you're hearing it. Yeah. So, and I love that you have it there, like it's an antidote to those things. Because if you're in mourning over a loss, or you're dealing with depression or something like that, remembering Christ and having that relationship with him gives you that joy to keep moving on, keep moving forward through that.
Yeah, absolutely. So joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from that spiritual transformation that happens in our life. It stays with us. Fruit of the Spirit, like, you know, peace and goodness and patience, those aren't things that we naturally have. They are spiritually given, and they're in us. So, happiness might be a little more fleeting. It comes and goes. What's happiness based on? Well, like you said, it's just an emotion. But joy is based on our Savior, a fruit of the Spirit.
I was going to say one thing, too, when you were talking about the different scriptures, and I was thinking forgiving people sometimes makes me more joyful, because sometimes I have this issue in my heart, like, oh, I can't believe that person is like that, or saying that, or doing that, or whatever. And then I have to say, God, can you forgive me for that thought? Mm-hmm. And then it makes my heart a little bit softer. And then I receive more from him at that particular moment. But, you know, in this world, we were talking about all the different challenges, and just forgiving people is probably one of the biggest ones that I personally try. But sometimes, like, you know, you can hold the door open for somebody and they don't say anything. They just walk right through, you know, whatever. But then I have to say, well, I'm pleasing him. So I'm forgiving them. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah.
But I think forgiving people and being, you know, grace-filled, like we talked about a lot, that's where that joy can come in.
Yeah.
If we're frustrated with something else.
I think what you're saying is just, you know, so right on, because it's so hard for so many people to forgive. But I think the lesson really there is forgiveness is for you and God. It, you know, if I forgive you, that's done here. But here, it's just so much more powerful. And so absolutely, you would expect joy to come right back down that path.
Yeah. I think giving, like, you know, for me, giving is much better than receiving.
Amen. Amen.
So, joy is that gift of Christmas that's for everyone. And let's open it. As you read ahead, you know, joy is that antidote to depression or misery. Think about that. If you find yourself beat down, just focus on that word joy and start looking for joy and remembering where joy comes from. And often singing or reading scripture will help remind you and bring that joy back out. Sometimes we can, when we're feeling like that, we can self-administer joy to ourselves. But there's going to be other times when we need people to administer it to us. In other words, remind us of the joy that we've been given, that we have. And so the contrast here is Satan is a joy stealer, right? So if we're losing our sight on feeling joy, we know that Satan is trying to steal it from us. But if we're going to be in Christ, recognizing joy as a fruit of the Spirit, we need to be joy spreaders. Not joy stealers, but joy spreaders.
Can I say one more thing?
Absolutely not.
The verse that you read about, I've been thinking about this since you read it, but thinking about the angels got joy-filled. That means they weren't always joy-filled. So I feel better about that.
But over the Messiah, too. They were singing over the Messiah.
I know. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I kind of want to say something about this, too, because there was a time that I lost my joy. And I doubted that I would ever have it back. And it was missed. But when my daughter was murdered, I went straight back into my early toxic church, everybody's going to hell thing. Went right to the spot. My daughter was baptized in the wrong church, and I have sent her to hell. I didn't take her to the right place. I went right back into that. And I was in that place for several years. I wanted to see her. I wanted to be sure she was okay. And I was suicidal, and I had no joy. And, you know, I had been sober for 7 years, and I had had such incredible joy, and then, boom, it was gone. And I didn't know how to get it back. And I know that God was with me, because when the police chaplain came and told us that she had been murdered, the first thing we did was we prayed with the chaplain for the people who had done it. Mm. And that's something that was from God. That was not from us. So God was there, but I couldn't feel him. I could not feel him. And that's because I went right back into that toxic view of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was redeemed from that, and I'm really glad. But I guess I just want to say something for people who really can't feel joy. It doesn't mean joy is gone.
Right. Well, it's like any of the spiritual gifts and fruit. It could still be in us, and it could be laying there almost dormant, if you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's still there. It's still, mm-hmm. we have it, and it's going to come out at some point. You know, it's waiting for that catalyst somehow.